This afternoon, you're listening to the Todd LeBorowitz Show, Real Estate Radio and Sound Broadcast Network, AM 1260, The Answer. I'm your host, Todd LeBorowitz, and this segment is brought to you by The Insurance Exchange, our preferred partner for all your insurance needs. Well, in the studio with us now is the one and only Bill Calamaris. He's a real estate agent with Long & Foster's, and he also is a multi-million top producer. Multi-million top producer. What's it like getting a tagline like that?
Let me tell you, Todd. Multi-million, it's overdone nowadays. Now, when we were selling homes for $30,000 a piece, that was a mark to reach. Nowadays, multi-million, you could sell a house and a half.
So did you get it then, or did you get it now?
Oh, I got it then, too. Oh, okay.
What was it like getting it then?
Very, very rewarding. But the industry has changed so much. I've been in it for 30 years, and there's just been so many changes. Technology is the biggest change. But we didn't have computers when I got into the industry.
Did you have a fax machine?
No MLS, nothing. What we used to get is a book with the listings that you got once a week with a picture of a property, the price, and some brief description, and that's what you use to go out and show properties.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, let's go back 30 years.
Oh, Lord.
How did you get into the real estate business?
Well, I had an uncle who was in the commercial division. I was with a company called Huey T. Peck at the time. It's an old Washington name. And I talked to him about it. The family's always been involved in real estate in one way or another. And he talked to me. He said, now listen. He said, don't quit your day job. You know, take this part-time. Well, I was young. I decided, I'll quit my day job. I'll do this. Completely commission-based. And, my uncle, who was commercial, and I went residential. And residential is a completely different animal than commercial.
Oh, yeah.
So that's how I got started.
And what was it like getting started as far as, like, referrals, getting leads? Like, did you have anything set up? Were you walking in anything? Or I got a license, I got to make a money?
I was in my early 20s. Thank God I was aligned with a very good manager who taught me the importance of prospecting, how going out and finding the business is the key to the success of this industry. Back then, we didn't have what we have nowadays with the internet, so you can sit on what we call the duty desk and get phone calls coming in off of signs, and you literally had a lead a day, maybe even five. My first year, I sold a home a month just from taking time on the desk, not including other ways of getting new business.
So you were willing to do the time?
Oh, heck yeah, yeah. It was only three-hour slots, and I took as much as I could because I didn't have the same commitments other people did, and I was really hungry.
And what did you learn from that 30 years later that you kept with you?
The importance of prospecting is key. You've got to keep in touch with your referral sources, because once you build, it takes a lifetime to build a referral network. It takes one bad transaction to lose that person forever. So the importance of following up and doing things right, keeping in touch with your people, that's the key.
And it's interesting because our show, we try to promote all the time that we want people in our industry to do what's in the best interest of the client.
Right.
And these companies that basically say, well, if you use me, you have to use this and this and
right.
this. You don't get the service as you do if it's a referral base.
That's exactly right. That's another way the industry changed. You never had this, hermetically sealed company where some of the larger brokerages, they have their own in-house lender, in-house mortgage settlement company, insurance. I don't work that way. I'm completely outside of that because I feel individuals have to earn my business just like I have to earn business from the street.
And that's how the laws are supposed to protect everyone
right.
So we can shine.
Well, we do have something called RESPA. A lot of people kind of forget that's out there.
But I'm hoping they'll get more. Well, they're doing a great job enforcing it.
Yeah.
They are doing that. Because
at
the end of the day, the borrower and the client has to feel empowered, has to feel empowered with their agent, their mortgage person, their title company. You just have to feel empowered. If you lose that empowerment, then you lose control of everything and your experience isn't going to be the same.
Right.
Well, for you, you've been in for a long time.
Right.
What was your tipping point?
The tipping point for me was I started churning a lot of income, a lot of transactions, which resulted in a lot of income. It started getting to the point when I realized there was a fine line. I think it was about 2.5 years into it that I realized that I don't need to chase the money. Forget about the money. Focus only on the clients. And that's when the floodgates opened. And my volume went from, it doubled and tripled. I carried at one time, back when it wasn't heard of, 25, 30 listings at a time I had. And there weren't these massive teams that they have nowadays. It was me. you know? So that was my tipping point. And service, primarily for service, 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 and then the money comes after.
So it seems taking care of your client,
mm-hmm.
doing the right thing,
right,
not chasing the money,
right,
even if that's saying to someone, you know what, it's not the right time for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What was it like? Tell me about your experience. Like, tell me something that
Lord.
You went through.
Well, you know, one of the sources I used to get business was what we would call failed sales or expired or withdrawn listings. These houses failed to sell for a specific reason. You know, it could be the house sat on a main road. It sat underneath power lines. It sat off a cliff. Who knows? Back to the Beltway. It could be anything. It isn't the seller's fault that property didn't sell. It isn't the property's fault that property didn't sell. It's the agent who had it before. They didn't coach their people correctly. And if you coach your person correctly, you can make things work. We didn't have the benefit back then of short sales like they do now. You either came up with the money or you went to foreclosure. That was basically it. Nowadays, there's a way around things that we didn't have then. So it was real important to do things right the first time for some people.
I mean, short sales weren't even around.
That's right. There was no such thing.
I don't even know how that name came about.
Well, you know, who knows? Some guy named Short.
Now, let's talk about your niches. You touched a little bit about it, about the properties that had a failing transaction.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I want to know is more about your niche. Where are you at now and today?
Okay. Well, today, a lot of, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of it's referral business. I still get, and because of a lot of my referral business for people who failed to sell before, I tend to get their friends and family.
Right. So, they love you.
And they those people tend to have failed transactions sometimes as well. So sometimes I get that as well. But my niche mostly is I like to stay within the price range of around the maximum FHA limit. And okay. I've always been successful there because I find that's a buying range that needs to buy. It's not an option. It's usually a need to sell, need to buy type of situation. And it's a good move up. Whereas some people that I know go into that multi-million dollar bracket, but those sometimes can be optional buys. They buy because the house will sit north rather than south, and that's why they're moving. You know, these people need to move. So
wonderful. Well, by the way, if you're just tuning in, I have with me Bill Calamaris. He's a realtor with Long & Foster and part of the multi-million dollar top producer. I'm your host, Todd LeBorwood, and you're listening to Sound Broadcast Network, AM 1260, The Answer. Now, Bill, let's get into that. You're talking about like FHA. FHA has changed.
Oh, well, yeah.
And for the better.
Yeah.
Have you ever met Julian Castro or watched him on TV?
No, I have not. No.
Secretary Hutt. He's just, talk about heart. He's got heart, and he's like trying to help fix and like what needs to be done with the HUD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's kind of gotten HUD, and you know this in the industry, I'm sure you have guests that talk about it, is that FHA has almost in some ways priced themselves out of the market because of the fees that they charge for insurance and things like that. So it's a little harder. Sometimes it's more advantageous to go conventional than it is to go FHA. FHA seems to be a good vehicle for many people because they have more liberal lending standards than a conventional lender might have. Credit scores, debt-to-income ratios, those type of things lend themselves to a better product for a lot of people.
And what I always suggest coming from the mortgage side of it is you always want to run the scenario of conventional and also FHA because sometimes FHA is not the best product
exactly.
for you. But sometimes it will surprise you where, like right now, not today,
right.
It's you can get a better interest rate and buy out the MIP.
Right. Right.
And with the lowering monthly payment, it makes more sense. It's just there's sometimes it's better, sometimes it's not, but always look at them side by side.
And that's the thing with, I do primarily listings.
Mm-hmm.
Listing agents need to know just as much as selling agents what's going on in the marketplace when it comes to mortgage money. You need to know the demographics of that area and where you're going to really be able to pull that buyer in. Know in advance that, hey, these products might be the better products for your buyer. You know, in any marketplace that you might be in, it might be more of an FHA kind of neighborhood. Then know that. Know that, prepare your seller for that because they have peeling paint. If the house is built for 78, it's going to be tagged for that. You know, loose handrails, things like that. The criteria on an FHA appraisal is different than a conventional appraisal. So you need to know those things.
Right. Also, if you are a veteran, thank you for serving, but your loans are off the top to be the best.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as long as the seller is aware of the fees that are associated with a VA loan, that is an excellent opportunity for a buyer to get in on a VA loan than any other product out there if you qualify.
Yeah, and it's frustrating because people are putting offers on a house and people are using the VA, and the seller is taking another offer out of the VA, and it's so not right.
I know. There's got to be a way around it. But really what's the most concern right now is appraised values, because a lot of times VA buyers have to work their closing costs into it, so they up the price. And then if you tip the scale, you don't get appraised, the deal is dead.
But where's the pride of saying, thank you for serving my country and I want to take your country?
Like, you know, I hate to say this, but people are just thinking about themselves most of the time.
Well, they weren't thinking about themselves when they were over.
When they were serving, that's right. When those people were serving for them.
Right.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate you taking the time. But before we wrap up, what's the one thing you love about being in the D.C. area?
Oh, my God. Everything is wonderful, but especially the restaurants. And my favorite is Rasika. I love Rasika.
What kind of food do they have?
That's Indian. And you could take it home, eat it 3 days later. It's just as good.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you too, Todd. Wonderful.
And coming up next, we have Robert Levinson. He's an attorney, and he owns a company called Blackacre 1031 Exchange Service, LLC. 1031, it's a hot topic. Everybody wants to know what it is. If you don't know what it is, you need to know what it is. And we're going to explain it to you coming up next.